This is VOA News, via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. Around the world, New Year's Eve celebrations have been muted as countries deal with a surge of cases of the Omicron coronavirus variant. Authorities in Seoul are showing caution, barring spectators from a traditional midnight bell ringing that instead would be live streamed. In India, fearing a repeat of a devastating virus surge that overwhelmed the country in April and May, cities and states have imposed restrictions on gatherings. Delhi implemented a 10 p.m. curfew. And the UK also marked the new year in muted fashion, but under the warmest temperatures on record, near 15 degrees Celsius. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has warned of trying times ahead, saying Omicron could lead to a tsunami of cases. Many Western leaders have been hesitant to reimpose strict controls seen in 2020 for fear of sparking a new economic downturn, but on-again, off-again restrictions have prompted frequent, vocal, and occasionally violent anti-lockdown, anti-vaccine, and anti-government protests. Experts and non-experts alike hope that 2022 may be remembered as a new, less deadly phase of the pandemic. South Africans on Friday took their last chance to pay their respects to Archbishop Desmond Tutu on the eve of a funeral for the revered anti-apartheid fighter. Since Thursday, nearly 3,000 mourners have filed through Cape Town's St. George's Cathedral before the simple pine casket containing Tutu's remains. Members of Tutu's family hugged and consoled each other as the coffin returned for a second and final day of his lying in state. Tutu died peacefully, aged 90, on Sunday. This is VOA News. Sudanese pro-democracy demonstrators blocked streets on Friday in Khartoum, protesting the violence a day earlier that left five people dead and sparked condemnation from the United States. The French news agency reported that protesters barricaded roads in the East Khartoum district of Buri, as well as in nearby Khartoum North, using rocks, tree branches, and tires. Sudan has been gripped by turmoil since military leader General Abdel Fattah Burhan launched a coup on October 25th and detained Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. Hamdok was reinstated on November 21st, but mass protests have continued. Demonstrators distrust Burhan's assertion that he wants to guide the country toward full democracy. Authorities on Thursday cut off communications across the country. Meanwhile, security forces clamped down on demonstrations, firing live rounds and tear gas as tens of thousands gathered in Khartoum, Khartoum North, and nearby Omdurman. Four protesters were fatally shot in the head or chest in Omdurman, according to the pro-democracy Sudan Doctors Committee. A fifth succumbed to his wounds Friday after he was shot in central Khartoum. Nearly 4,000 Mozambicans have fled their villages in a month due to intensifying jihadist attacks in Niassa at the province neighboring insurgency hotbed Cabo Delgado. This according to a government official on Friday. Militants terrorizing the gas-rich northern Cabo Delgado province for the past 4 years have in recent weeks shifted their attacks to the west, to Niassa. The latest displacements add to the more than 820,000 people that have fled the insurgency since 2017. Former South Korean President Park Geun-hye was released from prison on Friday, nearly 5 years after being convicted of corruption, fueling debate over whether she would play any role ahead of a March presidential election. Park, who was 69, was the country's first democratically elected leader to be thrown out of office when the Constitutional Court upheld a parliament vote in 2017. Lawmakers voted to impeach her over a scandal that also led to the imprisonment of the chiefs of two conglomerates, Samsung and Lotte. U.S. television actress two decades, carving out a niche with her combination of sunny charm and sly punchlines. She was frequently asked if after such a long career there was anything she still wanted to do. Her standard response, Robert Redford. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.